Now, over the past 2 weeks that we've spent studying this section in our Bibles entitled The Rich Man, we have considered why Jesus responded to the man's question with his own question. You remember, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. And from that, just to repeat, we learn two wonderful lessons from Jesus' response. The first is, if God alone is good and you recognise him as being good, then what and who does that make Jesus? The second thing is, if God alone is good, then you need God's mercy and help, because outside of him, there is no goodness, no true goodness. Then last week, we took note of Jesus' actual answer to the rich man's question. What do I have to do to receive eternal life? The rich young man asked. And Jesus addressed that the question was flawed, and we picked up on that. There is nothing the man could do to receive eternal life, actually. Nothing that he could do in and of himself. However, if he did want to be saved, and if he did want to follow Jesus, it would involve him giving up everything. All his wealth and status, he would have to lay it to one side to follow Jesus. The cost of eternal life, we said last week, is nothing in as much as you can't earn your way or buy your way in, but it will also cost you everything. You pin your colours to the mast. You receive persecutions. You leave the world behind in its entirety. And I made it clear to you last week that just as that was true then for that rich young man, that is also true for you and for me in following Jesus. Just like the people we referred to earlier, those who are being persecuted today, they've had to sacrifice jobs, livelihoods, security, in following Jesus. That's what Jesus calls us to do. And it could happen to any of us that we're left wondering whether the next paycheck is going to come from. Well, then we read in today's reading, verses 28 to 31, and we see Jesus, with regards to this whole episode, responding to Peter's observation. And that's what we heard in verse 28. That which the rich man had failed to do in giving up everything to follow Jesus, Peter recognizes that he and the disciples had already done. And I'm afraid that often these verses are lost within the story of the rich young man. We focus on what the consequences were for that rich young man, and not remember these last few verses in this passage. They deserve to be given much attention because we can learn a lot from them. This could be the reason for them not being studied much and not concentrating much on, could be because they do not fit into what the established church and the Catholic churches tend to teach, which actually is different to what the early church believed and what the Bible makes clear. This teaching certainly deserves a heading, the teaching we get from these last few verses. It deserves a heading of its own, if you're going to break up the flow of the Bible with headings anyway, which the original text doesn't. But if you are, this deserves its own heading. And it should be something like this: the millennial rule of Christ. Because this is what we hear about in these last four verses of this passage. If this is a new concept to you, the millennial rule, then let me explain to you what I mean by saying millennial rule and give you a flavour of its basis in Scripture. This is the doctrine that Jesus will return to earth and reign for 1,000 years before the final judgment. So before the new heaven and the new earth start, Jesus will come back and rule for 1,000 years. So Jesus will descend from heaven to reign on earth in its present fallen state before its destruction, and when all things are made new, and when a new heaven and a new earth come into existence. Now, this just isn't something that's preached within the mainstream church today, is it? And yet, in the early Christian church, and in our own Bibles that we study, it clearly points out about this. Most Christians today are unaware that this is God's plan, that it's set out clearly in scriptures, and that believing that when Jesus returns, they instead believe that it will immediately bring about the inception of the new heaven and the new earth, with nothing happening in between. But the millennial rule, or the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth in this present age, is both completely scriptural and it's completely consistent with what the early Christians believed, such as Papias, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus. They all believed that this would be what would happen. So what is the scriptural basis for what I'm saying? Well, this doctrine is made clearest in Revelation chapter 20. Let me read it to you. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in this first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, most Christians, even though it's in their Bible, they don't know about this 1,000-year reign of Christ. They don't realise that there'll be two resurrections and that you want to be part of the first resurrection. So you see, here in Scripture, we have proof that there is going to be a 1,000-year reign when Jesus reigns on this earth. After all, he is a king, isn't he? And I don't know if you haven't noticed, he's not actually reigned yet on earth. And yet it was promised that a son of David would reign forever seated on his royal throne. That is what Jesus was born to do. And that is what he will do. But how does this all relate to Mark 10, verses 28 to 31, maybe you're thinking? Well, it relates because it is the millennium that Jesus is referring to when he responds to Peter. "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age." Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus is speaking about the millennial rule. He is saying, I'm going to give you these things in the present age. They are to receive these things in the present age. Now, I don't recall anywhere in Scripture where I hear of Peter or any other of the disciples receiving these blessings that Jesus told us about in that present age before they are martyred. Do you? Have you heard of them? Have you received these blessings in your life since laying aside the world and following Jesus? Have those people that I put up on the screen today who have lost their jobs for following Jesus, have they received all and more in this present age? They haven't, have they? Of course they haven't. It's plain for us to see. And yet these things, Jesus says, will happen in this present age. Not when there's a new heaven and earth, in this present age. So these things, they haven't happened yet, but will happen before, importantly, this present age passes away. It must therefore be in the time that is known as his millennial rule that he's referring to Peter in this passage. It must be when he comes back to reign for 1,000 years that Peter will get those initial rewards. A good way to understand this teaching is to understand but not be bound to the concept of dispensations. And if we do this, we can see that God actually has a timetable, and it can give us some reassurance when we're being persecuted ourselves. And actually, the Bible continually shows that there is real order to what God is doing and real purpose in the timings of what he's done and what he'll continue to do. And it's possible to see that the millennial reign of Christ is actually almost upon us. Since Israel is back in the land, since 1948, remaining prophecies can and will now be fulfilled concerning them. These things, every one of the prophecies, will need to come to pass. And now they can, because Israel is back in the land. And this is why watching what's going on with Israel is so important. To even today, when you might well see Netanyahu step down, this coalition of conservative, liberal Jews and also Muslim Palestinians come into place. These events could open up the door for prophecies to be fulfilled that will bring about those very end days and ultimately the millennial rule of Christ. The dispensations we have, they break up the times of the present age. So you had the time of the Gentiles. This is a period that lasted 2,000 years from the beginning of time throughout until Abraham received his promises. That lasted 2,000 years. Then you had the time of Israel from Abraham to Christ's death on the cross. Guess what? That lasted 2,000 years as well. Then you had the time of the church, the gathering in of the harvest. And that lasted from Christ's death on the cross, or his resurrection, until the time when he will return. Now, we don't know the exact date, do we, when Jesus died? But we do know it was around 2033. Now, if you look at the other two ages that have passed, periods of time that have passed, we're getting very close to 2,000 years since Jesus' death on the cross. Really, very close to that time. And then we know, don't we, the fourth time period, when Christ will reign on earth. We know how long that's going to last. That will last for 1,000 years. Interestingly, these time periods add up to from 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, 1,000, They add up to, Keith, check me on this, 7,000 years in total. Now, it may seem a long time to us, that 7,000 years, but to God, as we read in Psalm, like Psalm 90, that's just a week to God. Just a week. And we know how much God can accomplish in a week, don't we? Just open your Bibles and read the creation narrative. In 1 week, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the same way, I believe that in 1 week, he will re-establish his rule on earth. 1 week, one of God's weeks, it will take to re-establish his rule on earth. When Satan shall be toppled, no longer king of the earth, no longer able to deceive, and Christ will reign. On the seventh day in creation, God blessed it, didn't he? And he set it apart as a special day, as the day of the Lord. On the seventh day, that is the start of the millennial rule of Christ, God again will bless it, and it will be set apart as a special day, the day of the Lord. Those 1,000 years that Jesus Christ reigns on earth will be a golden age within this present age. It will be a wonderful time, and it will be a time when no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for him and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much, and they'll receive it in this present age. And what is more, they will reign with Christ on earth. The Revelation chapter 20 tells us, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And in Mark 10, it says that these people will, in the age to come, have eternal life. Praise God. What a promise we have. And it's just on the horizon for us. You will be spared God's final judgment if you're part of that first resurrection. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that is some awesome, wonderful good news. Good news that the church doesn't preach. And so do you see why these four verses are so important now? Why they should have their own subheading, if there's going to be subheadings within our Bible? And some of you must be wondering now when this will all take place. Will it really happen around 2033? Well, we don't know exactly, do we? These things are hidden from us. But God does know. And I don't know about you, but it gives me comfort to know that God has a timetable that is set out. However, if 1,000 years is like a day to God, the evidence is that we are deep in to the sixth day. We are in the evening. We're in the night time of that sixth day. If Jesus was crucified around 2030, 2033, and we are now in 2021, you can see that we are very, very close to his millennial rule on earth. We must be around the 1,990th day or something like that. And then he will come back and he'll reign. And I believe this. You may think, I'm not certain. But what I want you to take from this is that Christ's reign will happen. That the things he has promised are promised for this present age. And that it will happen soon. And we praise God for that. He is returning quickly. And another benefit that I see to believing what I've set out to you here is to do with the doctrine of imminence. That is, if you believe that the Lord could come and take you to him at any time, then you will make sure that you're doing exactly what you need to do to be following what he has told you to do. If you think the Lord is going to come in another 1,000 years' time, past your lifetime, then you'll think it's okay to do the things that you shouldn't do now. I'll just do this today. Tomorrow I'll sort it out. The doctrine of imminency will make us follow Christ better today. He says to us, do not fall asleep before he returns. He says, be blameless, be ready, be attentive, so that when he comes, he will come and he will do what he has promised to do, and that is to take you to where he is. And when he has taken you to where he is, then he will come back to earth. And when his foot sets down on Mount Megiddo, you will be with him. Then you will be blessed, won't you, for being part of this first resurrection. You'll receive all of those blessings that he set out to Peter that go with it. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Do we wish we hear that preached more in church or what? Let's hope that day comes very quickly. Amen. Well, as we think about that, exciting as it is, we're going to listen to David play now Baptist Praise and Worship number 591, and I invite you to follow the words that are written in there, number 591. Father, whose mighty word chaos and darkness heard and took their flight, hear us, we humbly pray, and where the gospel day sheds not its glorious ray, let there be light.